Well, after looking at some of the notions behind the new translation, I'm sure everybody's going to study it a bit and be ready. Try to remember especially the Logopoeia, the whole world of residences. Behold the Lamb of God, for instance, you see? And invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Those things. Okay. Now, we're going to look at the Feast of Christ the King. It's the last Sunday. As we get to the last Sunday of the liturgical cycle, we celebrate the end of the world. Christ the King. Then we start again with Advent, which is the grace of Advent, as I've already said, since this will be the second Advent we've ever worked on. We will do the second Advent. You'll hear about the grace of waiting in Advent. Here, the theme is very much shepherd. Now, you have to have some idea of the image evoked. Since we don't have many shepherds like on the East Coast where we are as we make this. And even in the West, most of them are herded by plane, a couple of thousand at the same time. So it's not exactly this personal relationship of a flock of 20 or 30 sheep. I used to see them in Israel, around the small towns, but I don't think they're there anymore because industrialization and urban development is doing there what is done here, especially, as I say, on the West Coast. But a shepherd, you know, sheep are, you can have an affection for a sheep. I mean, they're kind of dumb, but they're nice, you know, they're not going to attack you ever. Goats will. And they learn to follow you. And of course, that's the whole point of the image we have in John's Gospel. You see where three or four different shepherds will put their flocks together in a compound. Then in the morning, you know, one would go here, one would go there, the other would go there, and they have their own call, their own voice call. And the sheep would recognize that voice and go there. They won't recognize that voice. That's our Lord's image, you see. Here we have more the care for the sheep. The work, I guess I should say it this way, the image of sheep and shepherd is used throughout the Old Testament, is what I'm trying to say. And it's also God threatens the shepherds, meaning the leaders of the people. Okay. This is the text, a famous text, in Ezekiel 34. Ki ko amar Adonai Adonai hineni ani darashti. Thus says the Lord God, behold me, this is another instance of this logopoeia, I myself. Hineni means, of course, look at me, behold me. How do you get that into English? Look at me, behold me. So these translators, I myself, putting the accent on me, but using myself rather than a behold word. You can argue about that, but it's satisfactory. We're not going to discuss translation all the way through now. As a shepherd tends his flock, when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so I will tend my sheep. If my sheep are scattered, I will go collect them. I will take care of them. Or they'll get stuck in brambles. They got those big furry coats and they get stuck in brambles and they can't get out. Sheep are not bright, you know that. And they're not too smart. So they get stuck in something and they just bleat. They can't get out. You got to go get them and take them out. And so the Lord God is, I'm going to do that. When I find myself among my scattered sheep, I will tend them. I will rescue them from every place where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. Now, this is Ezekiel, right? So Ezekiel is writing after the exile. So the image is, my people are scattered all through the north, mostly Babylon, in that area. They're in little pockets, they're whatever, but they're not a people anymore. I will rescue them, and I will pasture my sheep. I will give them rest, says the Lord. The lost I will seek out, the strayed I will bring back, the injured I will bind up, the sick I will heal, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy, shepherding them rightly. Now, he's talking about a sheep, shepherd, right? But the image is also of a just judge. If you look at, for instance, Psalm 72. O God, give your judgment to the king, your justice to the son of kings, that he may govern your people with justice, your oppressed with right judgment. This is much less image, you see. That the mountains may yield their bounty for the people, you see. That he may defend the oppressed among the people and save the poor and crush the oppressor. That is the first job of a king in this culture, is to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. I know I've explained this before. You see, we're in a culture where there's no police force. You can't, you know, somebody's bothering you, trying to get into your house, you can't call the cop. There's no cop. Your best bet is your brothers, your cousins, your uncles, if you can get a hold of them, to come over. But suppose you're a Hittite and you're living in Israel. All your family is back up there. So if you're having any trouble, you are what they call a ger. You're a wanderer. You're a, you know, you're not there. And so the widow, the orphan, and the stranger are the most vulnerable people in a culture like this. And so he's saying, you know, I will take care of these vulnerable people, and also the vulnerable people among our own. A man may be very sick, not able to take care of his farm. His family is going to be out of food, and there's no united way to appeal to. It's just up to the neighbors to help out. And so God says, I will help out. Now remember, this is the feast of Christ the King. So, using a shepherd image, you see, the text is describing Jesus, the King. The first job of the King is to take care of those who are unable to take care of themselves. That's why there's so much said about the poor. Blessed are the poor, because I will take care of them. If you're a billionaire, you can take care of yourself. You really can't when it comes to judgment about eternal life. But for, you know, money and stuff. But, so, the first job of the king is to take care of those who need help. It used to be said of King Hussein of Jordan that he spent every Thursday afternoon sitting on his throne, welcoming anybody who wanted to come in and talk. Youssef, you know, I live up there, King, and Youssef, he stole my sheep. Make him give them back. Now the king would say, would you check on that and see if that's really true? And if it is, make him give him back the sheep. You know, because he's got nobody else. I can remember, and they do that with bishops too. I can remember a beautiful story. Not a story, I watched it happen. A man came in to see Sayyidina Yosef Raya. He was the bishop of the north, Haifa, Galilee, all that area. And he had twins, one on each arm. And he's telling the bishop, look, I got twins. I don't have enough money to feed these twins, you know. He gets himself all excited to find. He plunks the two twins down on the desk and walks off. Here, you take care of them. So the bishop picks them both up and runs after the guy. Says, look, I'll help you, but you got to take your kids back. I mean, I can't. So that's the... It still goes on. I'll tell you another story. Maximus Saig was the patriarch of all the Melkites. He lived in Damascus in a beautiful place. And it was as big as all those houses usually. There's a gate, a fence and a gate, and then a big kind of courtyard, and then the house. So the people were coming in to talk to Maximus. And he said finally, look, would you lock the gate down there? I mean, I'm busy. I can't do this like this, you know? That's too much. So they locked the gate. Then came his feast day. So the ancients of the town, the elders of the town of Damascus, come to greet him. And they start, Sayyidina, you are the light of our life. When you rise, we rise. When you set, we set. Now, open that gate down there. We have a right to come in and see you. You're our leader. But a different idea of leader, right? That's the kind of leader Jesus is. You're in trouble, you got nobody to help you, you can go right to the king. And there you will be taken care of. That's why Psalm 19 ends, Malki Vasuri, my king and my rock. If I'm on the top of a big high rock, nobody can get at me. And if I'm close to Jesus, whatever happens, he's going to take care of it. Even if they kill me, he'll just take me to heaven. I mean, it's so different from our idea of authority, for one thing. But the duty of a leader to pick up those two babies, run after the guy, say, look, I can't take care of him here. You know, you got to bring him home, but I will take care of him. So the shepherd is that role. And that's why it says in this psalm by David, Mizmor David, and you know what psalm that's going to be, right? Adonai roi, lo echsar. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, you see. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. I can trust him. He's my shepherd. And I'm a dumb sheep. I'll get stuck in a bramble. I'll get eaten by a wolf, unless he's watching out for me. You see? Besides restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. Now this is a mystic writing this. He's describing in shepherd and sheep terms his own living experience of God. You see? He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. You see? Which is so interesting. You see? The Mahan Shemo, for the sake of his name. My name, you see, is I'm your God. So for the sake of my own reputation, I've got to take care of you. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness. Now you see, this is a meditation by a mystic about who God is. He is going to take care of me. I don't have to worry. I can remember talking about and watching or reading the exegesis of this psalm written by a Jewish man who had become a Christian. I've talked about him before, Charlie Rich. Very, very deep man of prayer. And as he talked about this psalm, you felt the deep spiritual truth about the way God takes care of us. This is a feast of Christ the King, remember? Okay.